Chapter 9. A Person of Influence Empowers People. A big part of Jim's business includes meeting fairly often with some of his key leaders, and because those people come from around the country and all over the world, he makes it a goal to schedule those meetings in various locations. One place that's become a favorite of his and Nancy's over the years is Deer Valley near Salt Lake City, Utah. Recently, when they were there with some of their leaders, something interesting happened. Jim will tell you about it.
Yeah, Deer Valley is really a beautiful setting. In the winter, it's great for skiing, and in the summer, it's got gorgeous forested mountains and meadows full of wildflowers. We really enjoy vacationing there and using it as a place to meet with some of our people. This past year, we spent time with a group of about 10 couples at some condos in Deer Valley right on the ski slopes. We had a wonderful time. When we were ready to leave, we packed up our belongings and swung by the rental office to check out on the way to the airport. But as we worked to get our bill squared away, we discovered that one couple in our party had inadvertently left their room key back at their condo. "I'm going to have to charge you $25 for the lost key," the desk clerk said. I have to admit I was a little surprised. We had been their customers for 8 years, and we had spent thousands of dollars with them in the past week. "Look," I said, "I appreciate that you have a policy about missing keys, but the key is in their room, and if we were to go back and get it, we'd miss our flight. Can't you just forget the charge?" "No," he said. "The rule is that I have to add the charge to your bill." Even when I reminded him of our history with the company and told him that I didn't feel good about extra charge, he wouldn't budge. In fact, he just got more rigid, and I finally got really irritated. As I stood there waiting, I calculated in my mind how much money we had spent there over the years, and I figured that he was jeopardizing our $100,000 history with their company for a $25 key. We finally left and paid the fee. On our way to the airport, Nancy and I talked about the incident, and I thought about how it really wasn't the desk clerk's fault. The problem was with the owner, who had failed to train him properly. "That kind of thing drives me crazy," she said. "Some people just don't get it. You know who's just the opposite of that," she said. "Nordstrom. They're unbelievable. I didn't tell you about what happened the other night before we left for Deer Valley. I went down to Nordstrom's to get Eric a pair of pajamas. I picked out some that I knew he'd like, but I told the sales girl that I needed the pants hemmed and that we were leaving on a trip early the next morning. She didn't blink and offered to have them done that night and drive them out to us at our home. And that was the only thing I bought," added Nancy. "It's not like I had spent a lot of money. She did that just for a pair of pajamas."
Stories of the great service at Nordstrom department stores have become legendary. Anyone who shops there can attest to it. The reason their employees are exceptional is that the company is built on the principle of empowerment. That philosophy of empowering employees is capsulized in the following brief statement, which every employee receives when he or she begins working for the company. "Welcome to Nordstrom. We're glad to have you with our company. Our number one goal is to provide outstanding customer service. Set both your personal and professional goals high. We have great confidence in your ability to achieve them. Nordstrom rules. Rule number one, use your good judgment in all situations. There will be no additional rules. Please feel free to ask your department manager, store manager, or division general manager any question at any time. People are the emphasis at Nordstrom, not policies. The ability to empower others is one of the keys to personal and professional success." Millionaire business executive J. Paul Getty said, "It doesn't make much difference how much other knowledge or experience an executive possesses. If he is unable to achieve results through people, he is worthless as an executive." When you become an empowerer, you certainly work with people and through people, but you also do much more. You enable people to reach the highest levels in their personal and professional development. Simply defined, empowering is giving your influence to others for the purpose of personal and organizational growth. It's sharing yourself, your influence, position, power, and opportunities with others with the purpose of investing in the lives of others so that they can function at their best. It's seeing people's potential, sharing your resources with them, and showing others you believe in them completely. You may already be empowering some people in your life without even knowing it. When you entrust your spouse with an important decision and then cheerfully back him up, that's empowering. When you decide that your child is ready to cross the street by himself and give him your permission to do so, you've empowered him. When you delegate a challenging job to an employee and give her the authority she needs to get it done, you've empowered her. The act of empowering others changes lives, and one of the greatest things about it is that it's a win-win for you and for the people you empower. Giving others your authority isn't like giving them an object, like your car, for example. If you give away your car, you're stuck without transportation. But if you empower others by giving them your authority, it has the same effect as sharing information. You haven't lost anything. You've increased the ability of others without decreasing yourself. Qualifications of an empowerer. Just about everyone has the potential to become an empowerer, but you cannot empower everyone. The process works only when certain conditions are met. To empower others, you must first have position. You can't empower people that you don't lead. Second, you must have a relationship with the people you empower. The third requirement for empowering others is respect. Relationships cause people to want to be with you, but respect causes them to want to be empowered by you. The last quality a leader needs in order to become an empowerer is commitment. As U.S. Air Executive Ed McElroy said, commitment gives us new power. No matter what comes to us, sickness, poverty, or disaster, we never turn our eye from the goal.
How to empower others to their potential. Once you've established that you meet the qualifications of an empowerer, you're ready to get the process started. Your goal should be to hand over relatively small, simple tasks in the beginning and progressively increase the other person's responsibilities and authority. The greener the person you're working with, the more time the process will take. But no matter whether the person is a raw recruit or a seasoned veteran, it's still important to take him through the whole process. Use the following steps to guide you as you empower others.
Number one, evaluate them. You need to know where people are before you will be able to begin empowering them. With inexperienced people, if you give them too much authority too soon, you can be setting them up to fail. With people who have lots of experience, if you move too slowly, you can frustrate and demoralize them. Sometimes when leaders misjudge the capabilities of others, the results can be comical. For example, we once read about an incident from the life of Albert Einstein that illustrates this point. In 1898, Einstein applied for admittance at the Munich Technical Institute and was rejected because he would never amount to much. As a result, instead of going to school, he worked as an inspector at the Swiss Patent Office in Bern. And with the extra time that he had on his hands, he worked at refining and writing up his theory of relativity. Remember, all people have the potential to succeed within them. Your job is to see the potential, find out what they lack to develop them, and equip them with what they need.
Number two, model for them. Even people with knowledge, skill, and desire need to know what's expected of them, and the best way to inform them is to show them. People do what people see. Model the attitude and work ethic you would like them to embrace. And anytime you can include them in your work, take them along with you. There's no better way to help them learn and understand what you want them to do.
Number three, give them permission to succeed. As a leader and influencer, you may believe that everyone strives to be successful, but not everyone you influence will think the same way you do. You have to help them not only believe that they can succeed, but also show them that you want them to succeed. Back it up not only with what you say, but what you do. Once people recognize and understand that you genuinely want them to succeed and are committed to helping them, they will begin to believe that they can accomplish what you give them to do.
Number four, transfer authority to them. The real heart of empowerment is the transfer of your authority and influence to the people you are mentoring and developing. Many people are willing to give others responsibility. They gladly delegate tasks to them. But empowering others is more than simply sharing your workload. It's sharing your power and ability to get things done. As you begin to empower your people, start by giving them challenges you know they can rise to meet and conquer. It will not only make them confident, but it will give them a chance to try out their new authority and learn to use it wisely. And once they've begun to be effective, continue to give them more difficult assignments. A good rule of thumb is that if someone else can do a job 80% as well as you, delegate it. In the end, your goal is to empower others so well that they become capable of meeting nearly any challenge that comes their way. And in time, they will develop their own influence with others so that they no longer require yours to be effective.
Number 5, show your confidence in them publicly. When you first transfer authority to the people you empower, you need to tell them that you believe in them, and you need to do it publicly. Public recognition lets them know that you believe that they will succeed. But it also does something else. It lets the people they're working with know that they have your support and that your authority backs them up. It's a tangible way of sharing and spreading your influence. I mentioned the last chapter that Dan Ryland has worked with me for 15 years. When Dan first started with me, he was an intern fresh out of graduate school. He had a lot of talent, but he still had some rough edges. I worked with him quite a bit, modeling, motivating, and mentoring him, and in a short time he grew to be a first-rate leader. In just a few years, he became one of my key players. When we had a new program that needed to be created and implemented, I frequently looked to Dan, empowered him to take on the task, and gave him my full confidence and authority. And he took care of it. Time after time, I'd give him a major project. He would work through the whole process, implement it, raise up leaders to run it, and then come back to me for another task. He continually worked himself out of a job. In 1989, about 6 or 7 years after Dan began working for me, I came to a point where I realized I needed to hire an executive pastor, a kind of chief administrative officer, and I knew right away that I wanted Dan to fill the position. Now I knew that when you raise up a leader from within the ranks, there is often resentment and resistance from some of the person's colleagues, but I had a strategy. As I began to transfer my authority to Dan, I tried my best not to miss an opportunity to publicly praise him, show my confidence in him, and remind everyone that Dan spoke with my authority. As a result, the rest of the staff quickly rallied around him, and he was empowered as their new leader. As you raise up leaders, show them and their followers that they have your confidence and authority, and you will find that they quickly become empowered to succeed.
Number 6, supply them with feedback. While you need to give your people lots of praise publicly, you can't let them go very long without giving them honest, positive feedback. Meet with them privately to coach them through their mistakes, miscues, and misjudgments. At first, some people may have a difficult time. During that early period, be a grace giver. Try to give them what they need, not what they deserve, and applaud any progress that they make. People do what gets praised.
Number 7, release them to continue on their own. No matter who you are working to empower, whether it's your employees, children, colleagues, or spouse, your ultimate aim should be to release them to make good decisions and succeed on their own. And that means giving them as much freedom as possible as soon as they are ready for it. President Abraham Lincoln was a master at empowering his leaders. For example, when he appointed General Ulysses S. Grant as commander of the Union armies in 1864, he sent him a message which read, "I neither ask nor desire to know anything of your plans. Take the responsibility and act, and call on me for assistance." That's the kind of attitude you need to have as an empowerer. Give authority and responsibility and offer assistance as needed. If you head up any kind of organization, a business, club, church, or even family, learning to empower others is one of the most important things you'll ever do as a leader. Empowerment has an incredibly high return. It not only helps the individuals you raise up by making them more confident, energetic, and productive, but it also has the ability to improve your life, give you additional freedom, and promote the growth and health of your organization.
When it comes down to it, empowering leadership is sometimes the only real advantage one organization has over another in our competitive society. As you begin to empower others, you will find that just about every aspect of your life will change for the better. Empowering others can free you personally to have more time for the important things in your life, increase the effectiveness of your organization, increase your influence with others, and, best of all, make an incredibly positive impact on the lives of the people you empower.
Jim recently received a letter from someone he has spent several years motivating, mentoring, and empowering. His name is Mitch Sala, and here's his letter. Dear Jim, I know you are in the process of writing a book on influence, and I feel the need to put pen to paper to express my deep respect and love for you and Nancy and tell you about the profound impact you've had on my life. Your influence on me started before we even met when I listened to one of your tapes for the first time. Your vision, positive attitude, and committed faith were inspiring, and Nancy's ability to put life and its obstacles in proper perspective helped me to see my world in a new way. As I observed you, I sensed an incredible depth of character in you. I admired that and wanted it myself. It made me want to get to know you better and develop our relationship. I had never really developed close friendships before, so that was new for me. You see, I grew up in Africa where my father ran a large sawmill in the forest. My older brother and sister were away at school, so I pretty much grew up without other kids around. I was kind of a loner. When I was 8, they sent me to traditional boarding school. It was good for my education, but bad for my self-image. It left me feeling like a loser. As an adult, those feelings drove me to work hard and try to prove myself, but I still felt empty no matter what I did. And I was failing at the things that mattered to me most, being a good husband and father. But you became an influence in my life at just the right time. You understood me and made me feel accepted despite my mistakes and failings. You've helped me to grow in my family life, financially and spiritually. Everything has changed in my life. Signed, Mitch. Jim's positive influence has helped Mitch Sala change his life. Jim has taken him through the entire process. He's modeled a life of integrity to him. He's motivated and mentored him. He's empowered him. And over the years, Mitch has become a world-class influencer himself. Through his business enterprises and public speaking, Mitch touches the lives of hundreds of thousands of people every year in over 20 countries around the world. And best of all, he's using his influence to raise up more leaders who are learning how to positively impact the lives of many more people. He's reproduced his influence in others, which is the subject of our final chapter.